As we continue worshiping together today, please remain risen and receive these words taken from the Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with the first verse. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, amazed at what had happened. Receive what the Spirit is saying.
God is the source of life and resurrection, but that helps. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the ways that your grace and your presence move in and through and among us to call forth life. I give you thanks for the privilege of standing among your people today to speak a word of both hope and challenge, of invitation, of call. Gracious God, help me to remember today that this day is yours. I offer what I offer to you and pray that you would make of it something worthy of your great love, worthy of this glorious day. I pray it in the power of the risen Christ. Amen. When someone dies, our expectation is that they stay dead. And when they're dead and buried, it's our custom to return to the burial place, to the place of death. We care for the grave, perhaps bring flowers or stones, signs of honor and remembrance. At dawn, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, came looking for a dead body. They came to care for the old expectation. They would have been deeply weary on that early morning, worn out from the events of the past weeks and from grief. They would have expected nothing more than a sealed tomb, Jesus' dead body, and the slow but certain return of business as usual. That would mean no more hopeful speculation about relief from the imperial powers, no more talk of the kingdom of God breaking in, promising dignity and justice for all, even for them. Business as usual would return that familiar sense of powerlessness, of being invisible, blown off. And maybe some nagging sense of how foolish they'd been for getting their hopes up. Nothing's going to change, I imagine them thinking. Same old, same old. Like the women on that first Easter morning, when we have experienced pain, crisis, trauma, loss in our personal lives, or simply the overwhelming brokenness of our society and our world, we, like them, may be led onto a familiar path of hopelessness, of expecting nothing more than the same old cycles of suffering and greed and exploitation and violence and death. Our cynicism and fear and exhaustion and grief, our experience of a world that disappoints us over and again, all this tempts us to trot back again and again to the familiar place, the stuck place, the numb place, the place of death. Now, this can look many different ways in human life. It might take the form of self-medication that leads to addiction, or losing ourselves in soul-killing work, or maintaining habits that isolate and depress us, doing nothing to change relationships that are stagnant or abusive, doing the same thing again and again, but expecting a different outcome. Obsessing over things that do not bring life or joy. And on it goes. We know how to run ourselves into the ground. We know quite well the path to the grave. Poet Wendell Berry says, "The question before me now that I am old is not how to be dead, which I know from enough practice, but how to be alive. The question is not how to be dead, which we know from enough practice. The question is how to be alive. How to be alive is the question." The story we tell today gives us some clues to the answer. When the women arrived in the grave, they encountered something unexpected, something completely new. Not only is the stone rolled away, but the tomb is empty. And then two well-dressed men show up and say, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Things are getting seriously weird now. But all signs in this moment point to the astonishing notion that Jesus did not stay dead. Jesus must know how to be alive. And not just how to be alive, but to be alive even when all the worst case scenarios have happened. And not just happened, but have landed. The consequences of all the worst case scenarios, those consequences have landed firmly on Jesus' body, on his heart, on his life. How does Jesus live having endured all that? I've been meditating on a part of the narrative that comes before the women's arrival at the tomb as I ponder the wonder of Jesus' resurrected life. I imagine I could be wrong, but I imagine that many of us might think of resurrection as something fairly simple, something fairly painless, like waking up after a nap. Some of you might not have a painless wake up after a nap. But, you know, I mean, you get the point. You're sort of napping, you wake up, you rise, and then you move out into some new space that's beautiful and lovely and peaceful and easy peasy. Resurrection. But, you know, I read poetry. And there's a poet named Denise Levertov who has an image that has made me rethink. She offers an image that challenges this notion about resurrection. As she writes these words, "There must take place that struggle that no human presumes to picture. Living, dying, descending to rescue the just from shadow were lesser travails than this. To break through earth and stone of the faithless world, back to the cold sepulchre, tear-stained, stifling shroud. To break from them back into breath and heartbeat and walk the world again, closed into days and weeks again. Wounds of his anguish open and spirit streaming through every cell of flesh, so that if mortal sight could bear to perceive it, it would be seen his mortal flesh was lit from within now. And aching, aching for home." This image makes me consider something I never considered before. That for Jesus, resurrection was perhaps more difficult than dying. Far from a simple, painless getting up and stepping out, think of how hard it would be for Jesus to choose to return to us when all he really wanted to do was go home. Think about how hard it would be for Jesus to break through earth and stone, not of a beautiful, fixed-up, perfected world, but of a faithless world, the world that had killed him and rejected him and denied him. To travel back through the acutely painful memory, it had just happened, the memory of shroud and of tomb, to be put back in time into days and weeks again with his world-inflicted wounds gaping for everyone to see, perhaps in this moment more vulnerable and exposed than ever. This shifts my perception of resurrection, but I must say it resonates with my experience of the way new life happens. Let me be clear, the resurrection that I'm focusing on today is not the resurrection that we are assured happens when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease. That is certainly a glorious part of the Easter promise, thanks be to God. But the resurrection that I'm inviting us to consider today is the day in, day out question of how to be alive, of how to break out of the daily, deathly temptations to apathy, and to cynicism, and to fear, and hatred, and rage, and selfishness, and addiction, and isolation, and emotional numbness. To break out of death is to break into life. And what Levertov's image offers is a reminder that breaking into life, if Jesus is our guide, that breaking into life is not a walk in the park. Getting to new life is not always easy. So why did Jesus do it? For the same reason Jesus did everything. Love. It might have been the hardest thing he ever did to break through and to come back to us, but Jesus did it freely out of love because Jesus knew what we needed. Jesus knew that if he did not come back, that we would not have any chance of breaking out of death ourselves. He came back, and lots of us still don't believe it. We'd never believe it was possible at all if he hadn't been willing. We desperately need to know how to be alive in this world that tempts us all the time to death. And Jesus shows us how it's done. And how it's done, breaking out of death and into life, is possible only through love, through God's love for us that gives us life and that proves and shows us that we are worthy of love. It only happens through our love for God and our love for others. It is only love that gives us the power to overcome our desire to just check out or to abandon the person or the situation that needs our attention. Love is what helps us let go of grudges and rage and negativity. Love is what helps us break through things that are hard, to break through things that want to hold us hostage, that want to diminish us, that want to keep us scared and keep us stuck and keep us dead. If Jesus is our guide, we see that breaking into life will likely involve some self-sacrifice, a lot of patience, and even more forgiveness. We know, don't we, that breakthroughs take a lot of work and are often a long time coming. We know, if we've been paying attention, that there's no detour to Easter. You can't get to Easter without traveling the redemption road that does not go around but goes directly through the cross and the tomb. Breaking into life will require a willingness to go there, to go into the places of our grieving and our shame and our shadow and our pain. The old expectation would say that we don't want to go there because all of that stuff is stuff that we just have to carry around with us forever. That tomb is going to be full forever. You're going to have to lug it around for the rest of your life. But the message today, the invitation today, is that if we go into that place, if we are willing to risk it, to go into the place, to confront all that stuff, the pain and the grief, the mindless rut, that Jesus will meet us right there every time. And will take us by the hand and will call us by name and will forgive us or heal us or set us free, whatever we need to help us break out of death and break through into a new life. Again and again and again. But breaking into life, even after we've gotten there, does not lead us into a place that is easy. It doesn't save us, or it's not an escape from the hard things of the world. The world Jesus broke back into was a world that was still unable to trust the good news of resurrection that was proclaimed by those who had just witnessed it firsthand. I could have done a whole sermon on the fact that the 11 disciples called the women's testimony a Greek expletive. Idle tale is the G-rated version of the translation. It's a Greek word that means something more like the stuff that organic farmers put on their fields. Women been blown off forever. That was the world Jesus stepped back into that still hadn't gotten it. We still haven't gotten it. The world Jesus broke back into, that life, was a world that still struggled to perceive who he was, even when he was right there, as evidenced by the story on the road to Emmaus, which is the story that follows next. We know all these years later that resurrection does not make the world any less unjust, dismissive, violent, clueless, or greedy. Jesus' resurrection didn't make it happen. Our resurrections along the way don't make it happen. The world is the world. And breaking into life will mean that we will step back into a world that is cold and hard and has hurt us and scares us and disappoints us and gets it wrong again and again. Why in the world would we do that? Why did Jesus do it? Because God's love called forth a new kind of life. Because to do that kind of hard work instead of just binge watching Netflix or losing ourselves in distractions and addictions, that kind of hard work is what it takes to be alive. To be truly alive in the way that Jesus shows us life is meant to be. It promises meaning and joy even in the midst of struggle. We do the hard work seeking resurrection, seeking to break into new life because it's the way to grow in love and to grow in courage and to grow in peace and freedom and to know finally how to do justice. The resurrection moments experienced in this life do not lead us away from the world, don't help us escape the world, but they lead us into the world changed. Through the grace and the love of God, we, like Jesus, start to be lit from within. And little by little, by the grace and love of God, we are able to live, to rise, even in the face of our worst fear. Even when things go wrong, even when we totally screw up, even when everything has crumbled around us, even when we know we've got nothing. By the amazing grace and resurrection power of God, we find that we are here and there and now and again able to love even in the midst of pain, like Jesus. That we are able to forgive even when we are under attack, like Jesus. That we are able to serve even when we are weary and worn. That we are able to be humble when it would be easy to strut about showing our stuff. That we are able to accept our limitations with grace when we're able to be more and more fully alive through participation in the life that Jesus revealed. On this Easter day, the power of God's love resurrects Jesus, and all the old expectations get smashed to pieces. And because of that, because Jesus broke into life to be with us right where we are, we're not abandoned to hopelessness. And we're not abandoned to fear of death. And we're not abandoned to cynicism or powerlessness or isolation. We are not left only with the faded memories of a dead teacher, but rather greet a living Christ who walks, journeys with us, who breaks into the world and into our lives to love us and to show us how to be alive. To show us how to be alive. Thanks be to God.